We're going to spend a few minutes today continuing to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're spending this month of August exploring this third person of what we call the Trinity, the Godhead. We sang it in one of those songs this morning, the Godhead three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we titled this series Erased because for some, in some Christian circles, because of the mysteriousness of the Holy Spirit, because for some, we can't necessarily wrap all of our minds around the person of the Holy Spirit. We tend to erase him from our dealings, how we talk. We can fully understand God the Father, right? All of us have had fathers, whether they were in our lives or not. We can comprehend a father. And with Jesus, if you've been in the church long enough, even if you haven't been in church, you've heard probably of Jesus and the stereotypes of who Jesus is. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it can be kind of mysterious. How do I wrap my mind around the Spirit? I remember talking with my sons, and you know, they were like, "Do you believe in ghosts? And is the Holy Spirit a Holy Ghost? Because some Bible translations call him the Holy Ghost. Is that like a horror movie? The Holy Spirit's going to pop out of my closet and say, 'Pray to me.'" And you're like, "Wait, what is that all about? I'm not sure. That's kind of scary." And so we're going to spend this month of August exploring it, going through the Word of God and what Jesus has to say, Paul, and some of these people who understand fully, I guess, what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus explains, we saw last week, that he had to go to his Father. He had to leave planet Earth so that the other counselor, he called him another counselor, this helper, this advocate, could come and would come in and be with us and be in us. And so this is a vital component of our Christian faith. And so today I want to talk a little bit about wisdom in how that plays into how we live. When I was a kid in high school, into college, the big thing in Christian circles was asking, "What is God's will for my life?" Do you ever remember asking that and just buzzing your Sunday school teachers? What is God's will? Is it God's will that I do this, or I take this job, or if I ask her out, or I go to this job? What is God's will? And will I fall off the spiritual cliff if I make the wrong choice and fall off out of God's will? Is that like the crazy notion of what does it mean? What is God's will for my life? And we'll explore a little bit of that in the context of wisdom and what Paul speaks about spiritual wisdom, true, mature wisdom. But in order to do that, I want to share with you a couple of examples of my own life where my understanding, or whether I guess you could call it a manipulation, of how the Spirit of God worked and the will of God, and how you could possibly bend the will of God to your will. When I was in college, between my junior year and my senior year, I interned at a French church as a youth pastor in Northeast Ohio. I went to Malone College, and I interned at a church, a French church in Beloit. And it was about a 45 to an hour minute drive to this church one way. You drive up the highway and get off. And right as you got off of the highway, there was a Walmart. It's still there, a Walmart there in Alliance, Ohio. Every time that I would come back from working in the church, whether it was youth group at night or Sunday morning, I would drive home, and as I would near the Walmart, I would say, "Okay, God, if the light is red, that I will take that to mean that you want me to stop at Walmart and buy something. If the light is green, then that's your sign that I need to go on back to college." And so I would drive, and I would wait for that. And if it was green, you know what I would do? I would help God out. Maybe I'll slow down a little bit and let God catch up with my drive. You ever do stuff like that? "God, if it's your will, then I'll wait for this light to stop." Or maybe you do that when you're going through a parking lot, and you're like, "God, if it's your will that I get a close parking spot, you'll let this lady get right into her car and she'll go without buckling," or whatever the case is. Going back even further than that, if that's not enough, just to share, you know, being fully transparent in the error of my ways, In fact, going back to the stoplight, I did spend quite a bit of money because God obviously wanted me to go to Walmart quite a few times. Even before that, when I was a kid, elementary school, right around sixth grade, seventh grade, you know, right around the time when you start having feelings for girls or for boys and you start wanting to, do you like me, yes or no, circle one, will you go out with me? I had a basketball hoop on the barn in our backyard, and what I would do, again, this is what, fifth grade or sixth grade, they would have, you know, you'd have the girl of the week, you know, oh, maybe she likes me. And so as I'm playing basketball, I would say, okay, God, if you want me to ask her out, or even beyond that, if she likes me, the next three baskets that I shoot will go in. And if it didn't go in, if I missed one of the three, oh, it's not God's will that I ask her out. Okay, who's next on the list? It sounds kind of creepy now that I think about it. Man, it's got a list of girls, and nope, not her, not her, not her, not her. This is why I became a pastor, not a basketball player, because God clearly didn't want me to, and he knew what he was doing, right? Because I ended up with a girl that I didn't shoot baskets for. Rather, she threw pennies at my window, so that's what it was. So have you ever asked these questions? What is God's will for my life? Maybe not as silly and trivial with playing basketball or waiting for a stoplight, but have you ever wondered, God, what is your will for my life? I want to be in God's will. And maybe it's on the flip side, there's even a fear. What if I make the wrong choice? What if some decision that I make is wrong and I fall outside the will of God? You know, it's kind of like when you try to decide as a family or as a couple where you want to eat out. You know, where do you want to go? I don't care. Okay, let's go to Taco Bell. No, not Taco Bell. You're like, oh, it was the wrong decision. But, you know, you didn't tell me that you wanted that. Does God do that? Oh, you know, whatever you choose. And then, no, it was silly. That wasn't. You're wrong. And we fall out of God's will. Sometimes, again, thinking back to my life early on and even some followers of Jesus today, do we treat the will of God like a choose-your-own-adventure book? Do you remember these books? They were popular when I was a kid, and it was a story, and at the end of certain pages, you made the decision. And depending on what decision you made, you turned to a specific page. You couldn't just go page to page. You actually had to go, and you would go all over the book based on decisions that you made. If you chose to take the bus, for example, then you would end up marrying the prince of this long-forgotten island, and the book ended with you being happily married. Well, if you didn't choose the bus and you chose to walk instead of riding the bus, then basically because of that choice, you died of a flesh-eating bacteria somehow down the page. That's what these choose-your-own-adventure books were like. There was no in-between. It was either happy, glorious, wonderful life, the end, or it was painful, horrible, suffering, death of how these books ended. And sometimes I wonder if we treat God's will like this. Man, if I make the wrong choice, is my relationship with God over? Is he done with me? You know, I've blown it. Sometimes I wonder if we treat God's guidance as a magic eight ball. You know, where we pray and we shake, God, is this what you want me to do? Check back later. No, I can't do that. You know, you wonder. It's confusing, isn't it? The will of God. What does God want for my life? Or what about when God opens a door? You've heard that phrase, when God closes a window, he opens a door. And I've known so many people, I take that back, I know a few people who have gone through a seemingly God-opened door only to smack into a brick wall. And they're like, wait a minute, I thought you opened this door for me. And it wasn't the case. For example, think of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. God called him to speak to this foreign people group. go. And Jonah says, no, I don't want to go. They're evil. They're horrible. I don't want to go. And so he flees. He goes the opposite direction. Now imagine if he adopts this God opens doors mentality into his operation. And you read the story of Jonah. He gets to the port and there just happens to be a boat on its way to Tarshish, completely the opposite direction of where he wanted to go. And in Jonah's mind, he thinks, oh, Jehovah Jireh, God provided this boat. He wants me to go to this other city. No. That's not what God wanted at all. So the will of God, do I ever get outside the will of God? And what is the Spirit of God's role in this? Well, let's look at some words from Paul as it pertains to this, and he uses the words wisdom. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We'll also have the words up on the screen if you don't have Bibles with you to follow along. Stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. We'll read 9 through 12, and then we'll skip down to verse 16. Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. Unlike the letters that we've read previously, like to the Philippians and the Galatians, things aren't going so well with this church in Corinth. Paul has written a number of letters, at least three letters. We have two to this church. Words of correction. They ask him questions, and so he writes in response. And so the relationship is a little different between Paul and this church in Corinth as if you've been here the last month, Paul and Philippians. But he writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. He says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. He's quoting a prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now skip down to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Again, he's quoting Old Testament prophets. And then he writes, but we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we tackle this, however briefly, as we continue this process of exploring the person of the Holy Spirit, this third person of God, may you help us in our exploration as we are open to your Spirit moving in this place, guiding us and directing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So he speaks of wisdom. He speaks of knowing the mind of God. And he uses very, very plain language to paraphrase. He says, you know, nobody knows what's going on in the mind of someone. You know, you can look to the person next to you. And regardless, you can be married to them for a long time. They could be your siblings for 30, 50 some years. You still don't know what's going on in their mind. You may be able to finish one each other's sentences sometimes. That's why I sometimes wonder why spouses look at you and say, what are you thinking about? You ever been asked that question? And you're like, if I wanted you to know, I would tell you. I'm sitting in silence. Really, the only one who knows what's going on in our mind and our consciousness, what we're thinking about, is us. It's within. And he says the same thing is like God. Only the Spirit of God knows what's going on within God. And yet, that same Spirit who knows what's going on inside of God has been freely given to his followers. And so now we can have the mind of Christ, what he thinks about, what God cares about, how he views people and the mission that God is on, that Jesus has been exemplifying on his mission in his life on earth. When he inaugurated the kingdom of God, now we've got an inside track to the mind of God. And when Jesus left and he provided this other counselor, now we continue on this. The Holy Spirit works in directing us in the will of God. But it goes beyond simply what are followers of Jesus supposed to do. It's much deeper than that. When we talk about what is God's will for my life, sometimes I wonder if that's really the wrong question to ask at first. One of the foremost ways that the Holy Spirit works is through the Bible. Last week, we explored the Holy Spirit working through the Gospels, those first four books of our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the books, the letters written by guys who were sharing what Jesus was like. It's not really a biography, but it was just, this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus taught. And so we saw that the Holy Spirit works in that. As we read the Gospels, the Holy Spirit works in that as we read the words, and he makes it more real to us. Like if you remember, I shared the example of, you come to the idea of, yes, my parents love me, or my parents care for me, but it's that moment when your parent takes you in their arms and they tell you to your face, I love you, you are my child, and they hug you and they kiss you, whatever. It makes it more real, it's tangible. This is what the Holy Spirit does as we read these words that were written, they're speaking directly into me through the Holy Spirit. Similar, the Holy Spirit works in all of the words of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. A practice that some followers of Jesus have gotten in the habit of doing is picking a life verse for the day. And if you do it, I don't mean to belittle it. I'm not going to condemn you for doing a life verse of the day. It's where you close your eyes and you say, Spirit, guide me to the verse you want for today. And you open it up and you find, and that's your life verse. But I want to warn against it, and that the Spirit, it's much deeper than that, because you can get into some trouble by just blindly picking and choosing a life verse for your day. Because what could happen to you is what happened to this one guy who blindly opened his Bible. God, what is my life verse for today? And he turned to Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, which says, Judas went away and hanged himself. He's like, what? This has got to be wrong. Maybe I turned to the wrong verse. And so he says, okay, let's give it another go. And he closed his Bible, and he went for a second time, and he turned to Luke chapter 10, verse 37, which says, go and do likewise. At this point, he's really getting kind of scared. He's like, come on, no, what? What? Okay, so God is three, so the third person, so three and one. Okay, so the third time is the charm. Matthew 27, no. Luke 10, no. Okay, so he does it a third time, thinking this will clear everything up, and he turns to John 13, 27, which says, what you were about to do, do quickly. The danger of just thinking, okay, I'll just pick my life verse for today, it's much deeper. It's allowing the fullness of the word to be explored. The Spirit to use all of the chapters and the verses and the entire books, the context, understand that the Spirit of God moves in that way, both individually and collectively with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why a gathering together is so important with a Sunday school or a life group, or even if it's not part of a church-sanctioned event where you just get together with friends and let's talk about this and explore this. You can understand and believe and be reassured that the Spirit of God is there. The Holy Spirit guides us when we read the Bible, that when you read the Bible and you allow the Spirit of God to move, you discover that with regards to the will of God, and the words that we read in both the Old Testament that tell the story of God and his dealing with the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and in the New Testament with Jesus, and now on this side of the New Covenant, we read and we realize that the focus of the will of God is more on who you should be and less of the specifics of what we are to do and where and when. In other words, understanding the will of God. When you become the type of person God wants you to be, then you will do the things he wants you to do. Does that make sense? So when it comes to understanding the will of God, oh God, what do you want me to do? Start first with, who do you want me to be? What does the Word of God, what does Jesus, and through Jesus and the words, the Holy Spirit speaking into my mind and my heart, who does he want me to be? Who does he say I am? A great place to start is the Gospel of Matthew, and we've said this, we repeat this all over, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters, the Sermon on the Mount, because that is a great launching point for who you are to be, who God wants you to be. So the will of God, what do you want me to do? It starts with, God, who do you want me to be? This person. Because becoming a follower of Jesus demands the obedience of change. You are no longer to be the person you used to be. You are now receiving Jesus, the Spirit of God, and that demands obedient change. And by reading of his word and gathering with fellow believers, and you're navigating this, you get a better sense, okay, who am I to be? How am I to live? And when you understand you are a child of God and you are to live in this kingdom of God agenda, this mentality, then when you know who you are under the umbrella of God, then you will just do what God wants you to do. One of the wisdom writers in the book of Proverbs, he puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. Acknowledge, which means I understand, I gather, I have a fuller understanding as I'm reading the word. This is God's will. This is God's plan. So I acknowledge, God, I am living under your umbrella. You are making me through your spirit and through reading your word. You are making me more like Christ in how I see people, in how I respond, in how I think of world events. They call it a worldview. You get a more fuller biblical worldview. In other words, you see the world through the eyes of Christ. And the questions of, God, is it your will that I do this? It will become second nature because it's just natural, because it's who you are. And it no longer becomes the fear and the worry of choose your own adventure. Oh, if I don't get off the bus at this stop, then I won't meet my significant other because God has placed my significant other right here. And then you won't have that fear and that worry anymore because you are fully encouraged and comfortable and safe in the knowledge, in the belief, I am becoming who God wants me to be. And by doing that, by surrendering that to God and saying, God, you are in control, then the what do I do answers itself. Will you stand with me as we close? This morning, you may identify, like I did, and sometimes I still do, God, you know, what do you want me to do in this situation? Guide me how I speak and how I interact. And if that's you this morning, my encouragement to you is this morning, and from this point forward, allow the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, as you read, as you explore, God, remind me, reveal to me who I am to be. As a son, as a daughter of God, follower of Jesus, when I read the inauguration event of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays it all out. Allow me, in an obedient response, to become more like Jesus. May the fear of the unknown be laid at the foot of the cross, because Jesus has taken care of all of this. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can follow you. We thank you for the free gift of salvation, that it is not something that we can earn. Father, for some of us, for many of us maybe, it's a lifetime to fully get under our wings, that we cannot do anything to earn it. We can't earn enough gold stars in your kingdom for your love. You've already freely gifted it to us. This morning, may we receive of that. May we accept it and say, I believe this. I believe in the death and resurrection by the power of God, of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and the lifestyle that takes place once I believe this. Lord, for those of us who wonder and worry about decisions, maybe it leads to a paralysis of, man, we're just so indecisive because we're so afraid that if we make the wrong choice, we're gonna miss out on our relationship with you. May you encourage us that you are in control. You're not a magic eight ball. It's not a choose your own adventure. We can't manipulate your will, but that we are safely in your hands as we allow you to make us who you want us to be. Active disciples of Jesus Christ, living according to the kingdom of God agenda, seeing people, responding, having the world view as Jesus did, as the Holy Spirit guides us and moves us forward. We ask for your direction, we ask for your guidance, and we thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We will see you next week. Remember, there's sign-ups for Gilead Christian School for the fair, and be sure and talk with those missionary trip people. We'll see you next Sunday.